And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. And of course, this is Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First. I figured I'd just do that, Joe, just for
and Joseph Paul Barner the First.
Hey, I like it. I like that. That makes it very interesting. But anyway, we do welcome you in on the Front Porch on this Friday. Well, Joe, of course, I know one of the biggest concerns this morning is the weather.
Yeah.
What can you say about the weather, Joe?
Well, I think it's as they say in the South, it's fixing to rain.
Fixing to rain. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to rain.
It's going to rain, possibly some thunderstorms.
A little thunder. I think I just saw a little flash of lightning and trying to scurry around, get what I need to get inside.
There you go. I
and then get myself inside.
I kind of noticed that when I was reading the weather that I thought I saw a little flash. I said, well, that kind of adds to my weather forecast. I mean, people, you know, couldn't see it on the radio, of course. But anyway, anyway, just be careful today if you're out driving, doing things. You know, always be cautious of the weather because you never know, what could take place.
Yeah, they're talking possibility of severe storms or some heavy rainfall. So
yes.
And some folks have talked hail. We didn't talk hail, but
well, you know, just never know. I know. I think the last rain we got in Elkton, I believe it was. What day was that? It rained pretty good, and we had some hail in that. You know, probably I'd say about maybe pea size, pretty good size. You know, come down there for about a minute or so.
Yeah.
Pretty heavy. So.
That's springtime in Kentucky
never
and
know.
Tennessee. You don't know what you get.
Never know what you're going to get. Well, let's see, Joe, 2 Peter, right?
Yeah, we're going to be going to 2 Peter today.
Okay.
In fact, the next 3 weeks or so, we'll have wrapped up our study in 2 Peter, and I think they've got the Psalms on the menu for after that. So.
Okay.
I doubt we'll cover them all, but
we can start, right? We can start and do some
selected of them. Ones, yes.
There you go. Well, before we get started,
but 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning.
All right.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 18:30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him." Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones observes, "When did you last hear someone praying for revival, praying that God might open the windows of heaven and pour out His Spirit? When did you last pray for that yourself? I suggest seriously that we are neglecting this almost entirely. We are guilty of forgetting the authority of the Holy Spirit. When God sends revival, He can do more in a single day than in 50 years of all our organization. This is the verdict of sheer history, which emerges clearly from the long story of the church. Are we praying for revival? I am." I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water, it's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Once again, good morning. Welcome into the Front Porch on this cloudy, supposed to be rainy, kind of bad day, but
it hadn't quite started yet.
No,
here
but
in Hopkinsville,
it sure is getting dark out there. So you know, and of course Ken would jump on me because I don't have the blinds open yet, and I live in the darkness, you know. So
yeah,
but anyway, I'll open that up in a minute just
won't
so we
anybody
can see
sneak
outside.
Up on you.
Yeah, I don't. I'm scared. No, I'm just
joking. Well, Brian, they say letter writing is becoming a thing of the past.
Yeah,
especially handwritten letters.
Can see that.
When was the last time you sat down and hand wrote a letter to someone?
Probably when I was in high school and wrote some love letters, I imagine.
Yeah, I did some of that.
So that's probably the last.
Not in high school, but since coming here.
Yeah, probably last time. I'd say probably. That's probably the last time. That's been a long time
when
ago.
I asked that question Sunday when I taught this lesson, Rachel said, well, just last night, We have a ministry out of church where they write letters and notes just to encourage people.
Okay.
And they have that going, and she was writing some notes to thank people for helping with we recently had an Experiencing God weekend at Second Baptist Church.
Okay.
And so she was writing notes, she said, just last night. But now it's easier to text or to send an email.
That's it.
Or if you're really old school like me, pick up the phone and actually have a conversation with someone.
Boy, that's a thing of the past.
It's becoming that way.
Yeah.
But I'm glad letter writing was still in vogue when our Bible was being written.
Yes.
You realize we would be missing much of our New Testament if it mm-hmm. weren't for letters.
Mm-hmm.
The letters of Paul, mm-hmm. the letters of John.
Yep.
The letters, the little letter of Jude, mm-hmm. James, the unknown writer of Hebrews,
mm-hmm.
and of course, Peter. The letters of Peter helped to fill out the New Testament after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yes. as well as the book of Acts.
Yes.
So we're looking at perhaps the last letter and just the second letter written by Peter. As far as we know, he just mm-hmm. wrote two letters before his death. And we'll see that he senses that his time on earth is short, and he has some things he wants to communicate to his readers. We sense that urgency. We'll begin partway into that first chapter this morning, verses 12 through 15.
For this reason, I will not
be negligent.
There we go, negligent. I hadn't seen that word before. So remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must be put off my tent, just as your Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease.
Now, Peter wanted to stir up their minds, what you read. You know, when you stir something up,
yeah.
you know, before I came in here this morning, I put some additional ingredients in my coffee.
Ah.
I don't drink it black.
You put some other, yeah, I know it smells good, too.
I put creamer and I put some sweetener in
mm-hmm.
it.
Smells
so
good.
I have just a little coffee to go with my sweetener and creamer.
There you go. There you go.
But I had to stir it up.
Yep.
To get it going.
That's right.
Well, that was the phrase that Peter uses here. And in the NIV, he uses the phrase, refresh your memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he realizes that our human nature is sometimes to forget what we should already know.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter was writing to refresh their memory, to stir them up, to bring some truths back to the forefront of their minds so that hopefully they would always remember what he felt was important enough to write to them about.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses, if you skip into chapter 3 of 2 Peter, Brian, verse 1, he uses that expression again, stirring up, as he restates his purpose for writing.
Chapter 3, where'd you say it?
Verse
1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, and both of which I stir you up with your pure minds by way of reminder.
Now, in the NIV, it reads like this. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking.
Okay.
I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. So, in essence, Peter wanted to stimulate their minds to wholesome thinking, to stir them up.
Mm-hmm.
We might say he wanted to rattle their cages a little bit.
There you go.
To motivate them to
uh-huh.
and us to be more diligent in the exercise of our faith in Christ.
Amen.
And we all need to be stirred up.
We do.
From time to time.
We do.
So that's the reason that Peter decided to write his second epistle or letter. And if you remember, when we used to write letters, we would not identify who we were until the close of the letter. The return address on the envelope had already identified us as the senders. Some of the last letters I wrote, my parents were older school than I am.
Sure.
And they liked to write letters. They would write about every week, and
yeah.
and then I, in return, would write every 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
I wasn't quite as diligent at it as they were.
Yeah.
But when you would get something, you would get the return address.
Yeah.
Usually that little sticker
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
we get, and it identifies us as the senders.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you would have to look to the very end of the letter to find who had written it.
That's right.
But many of the letters or epistles, as we call them in the New Testament, contain the writer's name right up at the start. So Peter identified himself right up front as well in the first verse of 2 Peter 1. And he also includes the identity, sort of the readers of his letter, as well as a brief greeting. So look at verse 1 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter 1.
Now, you said now chapter...
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1.
Okay. So is that Simon Peter, a bondservant apostle of Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I take it they didn't have the number there for verse 1.
No, they didn't.
Did you notice that he identifies himself by his two names, Simon Peter? He was he was trying to get like like Brian Marshall Sidebottom or Joseph Paul Barner.
He
just didn't give his very last name.
No.
But Simon was the name that he had before Jesus called him as a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do we know about Simon Peter's backstory? What do we know about his nature before he was transformed by 3 years following the footsteps of our Savior and then the filling of the Holy Spirit's power? Well, to help you along, we recall that Simon was a man of weakness and flaws.
Okay.
He was a man that was prone to talk big but fall on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And that led, you know, he was always the first one to respond when Jesus had a question.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said that he had a foot-sized mouth.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who's got one of those. No.
But Peter was the name given to him by Jesus.
Yeah.
Peter. And he would eventually live up to being a man of rock, a rock-solid man. Peter was Petros, the early Christian, contemporary Christian band Petra.
Sure.
Meant rock.
Yeah.
And they did. And Peter also identifies himself here as a servant of Jesus Christ. A doulos is the Greek term that means a bond slave who was willing to do whatever Jesus called him to do. So to do the will of Christ, that became the desire of Peter's heart. And because in this short letter of just three chapters, Peter will address some issues regarding false teachers. That'll be in next week's lesson especially.
Okay.
Peter reminds us right up front that he does have the authority of an apostle, a sent one. An apostle was one who had witnessed the life and teaching of Jesus and witnessed the death and had seen the resurrected Christ.
Yeah.
So who should read and heed this letter, 2 Peter? Look at who it was addressed to in the second part of verse 1, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours.
Yes.
You don't expect a fisherman to write about things being precious.
Uh-uh.
But he realized where Peter came from, how precious his faith and his relationship with Jesus was.
Yeah.
It's addressed to anyone who has received that precious faith that we have received, the gift given to us by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he continues writing of this grace in verse 2.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Grace and peace be yours.
Yeah,
that's a common greeting of the New Testament writers, and the order, I think, is significant. Because we must first experience the grace of God, and then we find that we are at peace with God through Christ and with our fellow believers through Christ. So grace and peace.
Mm-hmm.
All this comes with a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, not just a head knowledge of who Jesus is, but a heart knowledge.
Heart knowledge, yeah.
Of walking with him day by day, being one of his followers. We know him better and better and better. Well, before we go to pen from the heart, let's read verses 3 and 4. We'll come back after pen from the heart and talk about them.
As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Well, Brian, when we started talking about 2 Peter chapter 1, we talked about people who write letters.
Yes.
And we are so thankful for people who, along with their support of Missionary Radio, write letters of encouragement. Mm-hmm. And so we want to share them with you to demonstrate what God is doing through your partnership with Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you all for your diligence and heart to spread God's word. I am blessed daily by this station. God bless. From Hopkinsville, I enjoyed listening to Missionary Radio's music and programs. From Gracie, I love the radio station. And also from Clarksville, God bless you as you continue excellent Christian broadcasting.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Exalting King Jesus with music and more. Missionary Radio.
Oh, yeah, that's a good passage, too. John chapter 3 and verse 16.
Yes.
That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, mm-hmm. that whosoever believes in him should not perish,
but have everlasting life.
There you go. That'll preach.
That'll preach, won't it?
Got Brian's finger up.
Yeah, that'll preach.
Well, we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. Brian read verses 3 and 4 a moment ago. And, you know, I've heard that the Christian life is not just a challenging life, but without God's help, it's an impossible life to live.
Absolutely.
So this passage gives us some ways that we can live a godly life. One, it comes through the knowledge of Christ,
mm-hmm.
through knowing with him. And as we know him, we get to know him better as we walk in relationship with him.
Yes.
The more we know him by living for him by faith, we experience, as Peter put it, his glory mm-hmm. and his goodness. And verse 4 points to the value of being a people of God's word who stand on the many great and precious promises that he has given to us. Think about some of the promises that God's given us in his word, some of his great and precious promises. There's that word precious again.
Precious promises. I think to me one of the precious promises, you know, that we have, you know, after death, that we have a place that we can go. That's a promise.
Oh yeah.
That once we leave here, if we live for him, then that's where we're going to be going. You know, that's a precious promise.
It indeed is.
Yes.
So eternal life of the believer. Mm-hmm. I think some other promises that came to mind: strength for the weary.
Strength for the weary. Yeah.
The security of the believer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rewards for the obedient, comfort for those who are struggling, yeah. and as you mentioned, hope for the dying.
Yes.
Just to mention a few. Our friend Billy Russell, I wish you had gotten to meet
him. I know,
y'all
talk about him a lot, yeah.
He clung to the Lord's promise to never leave us or forsake us, to be with us always.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Billy could no longer remember other scriptures that he had known backwards and forwards, he could quote you chapter and verse, you know, the reference and all.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before Alzheimer's took over his mind, but it was condensed down to that promise that brought him comfort in his mm-hmm. last days, that mm-hmm. Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always."
Amen.
David Jeremiah describes the Bible as an instruction manual, a toolkit, a repository of God's precious promises and a glorious testimony for the life of faith. But its transforming benefits can only be accessed if people will study it closely. The Bible should not be admired from a distance. Put that on the Missionary Radio Facebook page yesterday, so it'll be there for you if you want to see that quote from David Jeremiah.
All right.
But verse 4 continues on to remind us that those promises are given to us so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now you may ask, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, it's through God's word that we participate in God's nature.
Yes.
Through his word, through our diligent study of the word. You don't want to be admiring the word from a distance.
Sure, sure.
But through diligent study of that word, that we look more and more like our Savior as he transforms our lives little by little. Mm-hmm. In fact, the book of James talks about the word of God is like a mirror that we look into.
Mm-hmm.
And we look into it after reading God's word, and I think, I come up short in that area.
I think
not
we all
very
do.
Much like Jesus
I think we all
in
do.
That area.
Yeah.
And as we pray and as God's Spirit helps us, over time we become more and more like Jesus as we spend time in his word.
Absolutely.
And it's through his word, by accessing and leaning on those great and precious promises, that we escape the corruption that we see in our world, that we avoid being tainted by the world. So by being a people of God's word, we should be more and more like Jesus and less like our world.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, he reminds us that faith and salvation are just the starting point if we want to avoid being useless and unproductive or unfruitful in our walk with Christ.
And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people.
Are you in 2 Peter 1?
I'm sorry. 2 Peter.
You're jumping ahead to where we'll be next week.
Okay, so we're back to number one.
Yeah, we're chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 of 2 Peter.
5 through 8, okay, gotcha. But also this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, Peter lists a number of qualities that our Lord wants us to make every effort to add to our faith in Christ. It seems he might be saying to us, don't just stand there at the starting line after trusting in Christ.
Yeah.
And really, out of my own personal testimony, after receiving Christ, after trusting in Christ, I kind of stood there at the starting line for a good while and struggled with assurance that I was really saved because of that.
Sure.
But as I got into God's word and began to grow, those struggles with assurances with assurance went away, and I could rely on that those great and precious promises.
Absolutely.
So Peter tells us that we need to make every effort to add these qualities to our faith. The Christian life is to be a life of spiritual growth, or we stagnate. You know, it's true. God is also working these out in us.
Amen.
But we need to do our part to put forth an effort to show diligence in our walk with Christ. So let's look at these qualities that God looks to see in our lives. The first is goodness or moral excellence. Mm-hmm. The King James Version called it virtue. It means strength, valor, and courage.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stand for what is right as followers of Christ, for what God's word says, no matter which way the winds of public opinion are blowing.
That's right.
Next up is the quality of knowledge. And this might be close to what we might call having the wisdom that comes from walking with the Lord. Knowledge and wisdom seem to always be pretty closely connected.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge comes from knowing and doing what God's Word says. Chuck Swindoll calls it a common sense approach to applying biblical principles in our daily circumstances. So we need to build on knowledge to have self-control, personal discipline. Someone said, nothing is to master us but the master himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And perseverance is the next quality to strive for. What is perseverance, Brian?
Is it kind of like self-control?
Yeah, it's closely connected. It's also closely connected sometimes to patience.
Okay.
Perseverance, though, if you've known somebody who is persevering.
Like something you've went through.
Yeah.
Or going through, kind of.
Someone who is persevering has that ability to keep moving forward.
Forward, yeah, okay.
In the difficult circumstances of life, to walk under the load.
Okay.
It's said of many of our senior citizens that they are very persevering.
There you go.
It's kind of the good side of being stubborn.
Okay.
But it's a holy stubornness, if you will.
I got you.
A holy determination. That's perseverance. And we're also to develop godliness, which is reverence and obedience to God. It means that we strive to develop a right attitude toward God, and that leads to a right attitude toward others. When it's directed toward fellow believers, it is brotherly kindness or mutual affection. Galatians 6:2 expresses it this way, of bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We join others in helping them when they are down in the trenches of life.
Yes.
And finally, the last quality is love, the deliberate desire for the highest good of the person being loved. And it could involve sacrificial action on our part for the good of the person that we love. It's that quality that we draw upon to tell others about our Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
We want them to experience God's grace. So that's a challenging list that Peter challenges us to live out.
Yeah.
He says to cooperate with the work of God's Holy Spirit, make every effort to live them out. And when we do so, we avoid the state that Peter describes in verse 8, that of being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. You are useful.
Yes.
If you develop these qualities, you are useful to God's kingdom.
To God's
useful to our Savior. Well, someone who's proved useful over the years.
Amen.
Johnny Erickson Tata, she's also persevering.
Yes.
And let's hear from her now on Missionary Radio.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio.
1 Corinthians 12 is one of my favorite scriptures. And just let me read it for you. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow great honor. I love that portion of scripture, and here to explain it is my good friend Sean Thornton, president of Johnny and Friends, and he has pastored for 30 years back east in the Appalachia region and also down the freeway at Calvary Westlake. Sean, thank you for coming to the program.
Thank you for having me again.
Now, this is a tough portion of scripture, but I'll tell you why, and I want you to answer it. We receive letters from pastors who say, well, you know, I appreciate that we welcome people with disabilities, but frankly, they're a distraction. I want people to hear the Word of God, and it's hard for them to when there are other folks in wheelchairs, whatever, who are guffawing or singing. How would you answer that, Pastor?
When you are inclusive and you make sure everybody belongs, it becomes living proof of the scripture. It's the living proof of 1 Corinthians 12, that everybody's a part of the body. I had a couple recently who said they were visiting for the first time, and I said, well, how'd you get to know about us? And they said, we watched online. They heard a voice while the singing was going online on the YouTube video, that was out of sync, and they could tell was someone with a disability, but that the church encourage that and receive that and welcome that voice as a part of that chorus of praise to the Lord said, we got to go to that church. And they showed up because they heard that voice and that that voice was included as part of the body. Might look weak to others, but is a vital part of our church.
Well, I love that the scripture says those parts of the body that, quote, seem to be weaker. They only seem to be weaker because we look at a person's appearance, their cerebral palsy, their mental disorder. But disability ministry is about something big, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's about changing the culture of a church because we've got the Emily Post picture view of churches that everybody sits and stands at the same time. Everything is regulated and rule-keeping and tidy and nice. And disability ministry creates something different, doesn't it?
Yeah, in my years of pastoring, our focus was not that it's a department or a wing or a program. It's a part of who we are. When I first got to Calvary Westlake, disability ministry was in the outreach part of our church. And I said, why would that be an outreach? These are people who are a part of our families. So we put them into family ministries as a part of our ministry to say, this is who we are as a church. And even those that seem weak, make us strong.
Make us strong.
In the body of Christ.
Absolutely. Strong churches are churches that recognize every part of the body has a role to play, even those who seem weaker. Sean, how do you move a church from point A to point B where it's inclusive?
I think it does start with teaching the scriptures to the congregation and then being modeled by senior leadership, whether it's the senior pastor, the elders. Even before you begin a program, before you maybe hire someone or get a volunteer to lead that ministry, it starts with leadership, understanding what 1 Corinthians 12 says, that even those that seem to be the weak part of the body are the strong part of the body and need to be included. So I think it starts with leadership.
When I moved to California in 1979, I attended John MacArthur's Grace Community Church, and I watched as after the sermon, John would come down from the pulpit and greet everybody in wheelchairs. He'd hug them, he'd ask them questions, he'd spend time with them. John modeled what the church then was able to emulate.
That's key.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
We're working our way through 2 Peter chapter 1, and where he encourages us to add to our faith qualities like goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. And he says in verses 9 through 11, if we don't have these qualities, here's what Peter says in 2 Peter 1, verses 9 through 11.
For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do not do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So if we don't see some qualities developing in our lives, what could be the reason? In verse 9, well, because we are nearsighted or short-sighted and blind.
Or blind, yeah.
We've forgotten or taken for granted that we have been cleansed from our past sins. Mm-hmm. That's a voluntary nearsightedness. We can make the choice to be spiritually blind by not cooperating with the Holy Spirit's work.
Sure.
But from verses 10 and 11 and from the Holman commentary, if we are making progress, as you begin to see changes and transformations occurring in your life, that should assure you that God has called you to Himself, gives you assurance. These changes serve to make your calling and election sure. But the opposite is also true. You know, if your life shows no positive changes, and if that doesn't cause you some concern, well, then you should wonder whether you are really a true believer in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bible students believe that the Lord had revealed to Peter, maybe from a special revelation, as well as from the words of Jesus himself before he went to the cross, that Peter himself would not die a natural death.
Mm-hmm.
And as he wrote the words of verses 12 through 15 of 2 Peter 1, which we read earlier, but we'll look at him again, Peter had a sense that his death was coming, so he wanted to stir up the minds of his readers to recall his words and to apply them.
For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have reminder of these things after my decease.
So like the Apostle Paul did in his writings, Peter saw his physical body as what? A tent.
A tent, yeah.
What might that mean if we look at our bodies as a tent?
Kind of like a temple, right?
Well, if we look at it as a tent, that reminds us that we're sojourners, we're pilgrims,
okay,
we're passing through.
Passing through, okay, I got you.
And it also reminds us that our bodies are just a temporary thing. They won't last forever.
Okay, and we know a tent won't last forever.
Uh-huh. You know, recently Rachel and I paid for a plot in the Ezel family section of Flatlick Cemetery near Herndon.
Okay.
And there's now a tombstone there with our names and our birth dates on them and a dash.
And a dash, yeah.
But we didn't fill in the year after the dash. But some people think that's a little spooky to have your name on a tombstone. But I look at it as a reminder that we're only here for a little while longer.
Temporary, yeah.
And we hope to make an impact for Christ in the time before he calls us home.
That's right.
And so we realize our bodies are tents.
That's it.
Peter's hope and prayer was similar, that after his departure, or after his decease, as the New King James puts it, his words would be remembered and continue to impact the folks to whom he wrote. And in verses 16 through 18, Peter recalled his experience that convinced him that what he was writing about was not just made-up stories.
For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And he heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain.
Matthew 17 gives this account. This is what Peter's telling about. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by himself. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter, of course, had to say something. So he said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a special experience that Peter wrote about years later.
Yeah.
The transfiguration of our Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, Bible students believe it was a foretaste of the Lord's return, when he'll return in power and great glory, and everyone will see the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, Peter says, even more convincing than that experience was for me on the Mount of Transfiguration, you don't have to rely on my experience. We have another source of assurance about Christ that is even more reliable, and that is the Scriptures. 2 Peter 1:19-21.
"And so we have a prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing the first that the prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. For the prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit."
So Peter's telling us that until the day comes when we see Jesus return in all of his glory, he has left us with a light shining brightly in this dark world, and that light is his word, the Holy Scriptures.
His word, yes.
We should pay attention to what God's word says to us. Chuck Swindoll reminds us, when we rely on sources other than the Scripture for truth, we're casting our lives upon a sea of uncertainty. Feelings, circumstances, stars, these all fluctuate. And to trust them is to open ourselves to being seriously deluded and led into error. But God's written word never changes, and when properly applied, will never lead anyone into error. You know, I agree with the writer who said that the men who wrote the Scriptures did not just sit down with the thought, "Huh, I think I'm going to write some Scripture today." they certainly were not motivated by the possibility of penning a bestseller. Though as we compile all those writings, the Bible is indeed the bestseller of all time.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit inspired those men to write what they did, incorporating their personalities, their backgrounds. Think about some of the prophets who prophesied the coming of Jesus, his incarnation.
Yes.
They certainly did not understand all that they were writing about, but nonetheless, every one of their prophecies about his earthly life came to be just exactly as they prophesied. So Peter means that all Scripture originated with God and not with the writers themselves. But these human authors were controlled by the Holy Spirit, who is the divine author. And yet they were these men were consciously involved in the writing process. They were not just taking dictation. Probably didn't know shorthand. God oversaw all that was written, even down to the very words they used. And somehow God incorporated their personalities, their styles of writing, to make one cohesive whole, communicating the truth of God. Bottom line, the humans wrote, but the words came from God.
Amen.
And because Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, it is reliable. It's an authoritative source of power and inspiration to believers today. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 tell us all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's through God's Word that we are equipped. Again, in the words of David Jeremiah from the Missionary Radio Facebook page, the Bible is at once an instruction manual, a toolkit, a repository of God's precious promises, and a glorious testimony for the life of faith. But its transforming benefits can only be accessed if people will study it closely. Let's not admire the Bible from a distance.
Amen.
Let's look at it up close.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us next week for The Front Porch. Have a blessed day.